Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Oklahoma Engaged Live, Voice of the Voter, episode number 2. It's here on KGOU. We'll be here each Monday afternoon in October leading up to the 2020 general election for discussion and analysis of what's motivating voters to get to the polls this fall. I'm KGOU Managing Editor Logan Layden, and we want to talk to you. The final portion of each show will include all your hosts and guests taking questions from listeners. So submit your questions now via Twitter and Facebook. It's at KGOU News with the hashtag OKEngaged, hashtag OKEngage. Also by email, news@kgou.org, or by phone at 405-325-KGOU. Today, I'll be joined by State Impact Oklahoma reporters Catherine Sweeney and Quentin Chandler to discuss a couple of the state questions on November's ballot. Then, KGOU General Manager Dick Pryor has State Election Board Secretary Paul Zirix as we navigate this unusual election. We want to get started right away here and bring in Catherine Sweeney and Quentin Chandler first. Catherine, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Not at all. And Quentin Chandler, you too, thanks for hopping in with us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Logan.
Yeah, and I think I want to start with you, Quentin. As I've been in the voting booths in the past, some of the more confusing things can be some of the state questions that we have in front of us, something maybe people don't always fully prepare to go and vote on in a presidential election. One of them on the ballot this fall is State Question 805, and it has to do with criminal justice. Your State Impact's criminal justice reporter, let's start out just basically here. Tell us what State Question 805 is and what it would do.
Yeah, Logan, so State Question 805 starts to get into some of the more detailed parts of policy with regard to criminal justice. Essentially, the state question is asking voters, should we continue to take people who are convicted of nonviolent crimes? And that would be, and nonviolent means crimes that are not listed under state statute as, or classified under state statute as a violent crime. It's an important legal definition. Should we take people who are convicted of these nonviolent crimes and allow their maximum sentences under the law to be increased because they had a past nonviolent conviction? And the people who are behind State Question 805, the state question itself is asking voters to say no, to stop increasing the maximum sentence allowed for these individuals who have a past nonviolent conviction, because essentially the tool that allows courts to do this, called sentence enhancements, are blamed for driving increases in our state prison population and for leading to people who are in prison having longer prison sentences than people who are in prison in surrounding states.
Yeah, so currently, without this state question being law, courts can look at a person's former convictions, even though they're nonviolent, and adjust up a sentence for a crime that they are currently been convicted of or being sentenced for, right? And this would stop that for nonviolent offenses.
Precisely. So if you have been convicted of possession of drugs with intent to distribute, a felony crime that is not listed as a violent crime in the Oklahoma state statute, if you were convicted 5 years ago and then you're arrested and convicted again for another felony crime, essentially, if the state question passes, the court can't look back at this past felony that you committed, or even if you committed multiple felonies in the similar felonies in the past that were not classified as violent. The court can look at that past history right now and say, you need to have more than what the, you need to have more time assigned to you than what the law already calls for as the maximum sentence. The state question is basically saying, no more of that. When someone is convicted of possession with intent to distribute 5 years ago And now they're in court again for another crime, another felony crime. They need to be sentenced to the maximum allowed by state law without sentence enhancement.
Yeah, and so it comes down to there is a difference here between violent crime and nonviolent crime, and a little bit of the kind of controversy around this state question has to do with domestic violence, right? Could you explain that a little bit?
Right. So in state statute, there's a long list of crimes that are labeled violent. And some of them are pretty straightforward, simple, common sense, like murder would be a violent crime. And some of them are less so. But domestic violence crimes for years have never been listed under the violent crime statute. And back in 2020, the beginning of 2020, the leaders of Yes on 805, the individuals, the groups that are leading the charge, basically to get this ballot question on the ballot and hope to see it passed, they wrote into the language that violent crime would be defined as any crime that was listed under the violent crime statutes as of January 2020. And back in January 2020, there were no domestic violence crimes listed under the violent crime statute. Recently, the legislature changed the law so a few crimes that are classified as domestic violence crimes are now listed under the violent crime statute. But the state question's language, 805's language, still points back to what was considered a violent crime back in January 2020. So, under the state question, there are no domestic violence crimes that would qualify as a violent crime, which means that they would not qualify for sentence enhancements if the state question passes. And that's an important point to reinforce. If the state question passes, anything that is listed or was listed as a violent crime in January 2020 would still qualify for a sentence enhancement. But it's the crimes that are not listed as violent under state statute that would not qualify for sentence enhancements anymore.
I see. Yeah, and this is another, as we talk about criminal justice reform in the state and across the country here in Oklahoma, this doesn't come from the legislature. This is an initiative petition from the people. And that's been kind of a consistent theme as Oklahoma tries to reform criminal justice, right?
Right. So the folks leading the charge on this particular ballot initiative are the Oklahomans for Criminal Justice Reform. They were behind State Question 780 and State Question 781 that voters saw on the ballot in 2016. They've been behind a lot of reform measures that have entered the legislature over the past few years. And yes, they have basically said because the legislature has not taken questions like whether or not we should be applying sentence enhancements to people who are convicted of crimes that are not classified as violent crimes, they want to take the issue to the voters because they feel like the legislature has not addressed this issue. And it's also important to note that sentence enhancements have been marked as a driver of the high prison populations in Oklahoma. The Justice Reform Task Force that former Governor Mary Fallon, helped put together back in the, sorry, I believe it's 2015, 2016. It was 2017 when they released their report. They said that sentence enhancements were a big factor in Oklahoma having a higher prison population for w relative to its population. So Oklahomans for Criminal Justice Reform, other reform advocates are basically saying the legislature isn't tackling some of these critical questions about whether or not about how we should be approaching criminal justice and how many people we want to see in our prison system. And how we want to address crime in our state. People who are against the state question are saying that they are going too far, basically,
Right.
that they are starting to enter these issues of policy that are very complicated and have serious unintended consequences. And one of the big points that groups against 805 have been making is that the state question amends the Constitution, whereas past state questions like State Question 780 and 781 change state statute. So the legislature could go back behind the state question and make changes easily. This initiative does amend the Constitution, which makes it much more difficult to change if there are unintended consequences.
Quentin, thanks for explaining it to us here a little bit this afternoon. That state question 805. Talking about state question 814, Catherine Sweeney, same kind of question, just basically here as a public service to people out there who don't know. Tell us about the state question, what it would do, and what it is.
So 814 is another state question that's pretty complicated. In the past, I think that we've had these state questions where you can sum them up really easily in one sentence. But 814 is not one of those. I've been telling a few friends what I'm working on. I'm writing a story about 814. I've realized it takes, six sentences to explain it. So first, you have what TESA is. So back in the 90s, about 46 states sued a big group of tobacco companies saying our Medicaid costs have skyrocketed because of your product. You need to reimburse us. And they settled. So Oklahoma is one of those 46 states. And now Oklahoma is one of the tobacco companies.
Having a little bit of technical difficulty with you there, Catherine.
We
Internet
created TESA.
connections, can be difficult during COVID. It's something
No,
we're
okay.
always dealing with. We do just have a couple of minutes left here, but yeah, just very basically, this Oklahoma expanded Medicaid earlier this year, and then we do have an obligation. There's an obligation for the state to pay for some of that, and how to do that is, difficult to figure out during what's a terrible economic time in the state because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So, yeah, if we have a little bit stabler connection here, we got another minute or so if you could try to explain it to us there.
Okay. To us, sorry about the Wi-Fi connection. So essentially, a long time ago, Oklahoma started getting payments from tobacco companies, some of their sales, to pay for. We put it into a trust instead of spending it. So we kind of have this big account we invest money in, and the earnings go to public health initiatives. Some of that is cancer research. Some of that is nutrition messaging. It's pretty multifaceted at this point. But that trust gets 75% of the money from those payments every year. This would shift that money over to Medicaid. And the reason that they're wanting to do it now, we expanded Medicaid. It's going to cost a bit, but the deal is that Oklahoma, for every dollar they put in, the federal government matches with $9. So the plan is that we're going to put in about 150 million and we'll get about $1 billion back. There's some. As Logan said, there is some contention over how we should get $150 million. People who criticize 814 would tell you that we don't need to get this as an infusion of $1 billion into our healthcare system. Coverage of 200,000 additional working Oklahomans would pay for itself. And we need this money for the public health initiative, such as cancer research. Others would tell you $150 million is a lot of money, and we're in a really tough year. And so that is a little bit of the debate right now. Where should that money go? Continuing public health initiatives, or this essentially, some would argue, one-time payment to expand Medicaid, because we're going to start getting a lot of money from the expansion too.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine. And both Quentin Chandler and Catherine Sweeney, our state impact reporters, they'll be sticking around for the full hour here as we take questions from listeners. But between now and then, we're going to take a quick break here, and it'll be KGOU General Manager Dick Pryor joined by State Election Board Secretary Paul Zierex after a short break here. It's Oklahoma Engaged Live, voice of the voter on KGOU. And once again, you can dial 405-325-KGOU to submit your questions by phone or use the hashtag OKEngaged on social media.
Thanks for joining us on this Monday afternoon. I'm Nick Daniels from the KGOU studios in Norman. The chair of the Oklahoma County Board of County Commissioners is suing his own jail trust, of which he is also a member. State Impact's Quentin Chandler reports the lawsuit is an attempt to force the trust to cooperate with ICE.
County Commissioner Kevin Calvey first introduced a rule that would require the county jail to cooperate with Immigration and Customs Enforcement and detain people for the agency when it asks. After the board passed that rule in a 2-1 vote, Calvey added his name onto this lawsuit alongside a private citizen named Tom Vineyard and the gun rights group OK2A. They want the Oklahoma County District Court to declare the trust must comply with the new policy. Trust Chair Tricia Everest says she didn't know about the lawsuit until reporters surprised her with the news Friday. She says the trust hasn't had a chance to decide its position on the county's mandate to cooperate with ICE. Late last month, the trust voted to remove an ICE agent from the jail, but the vote failed over a technicality. Everest says she'll wait and see what the court decides. For State Impact, I'm Quentin Chandler.
And you're tuned to KGOU, your NPR source. For more news, follow us on social media. We're at KGOU News on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.